hidden abhir bhav is the appearance day, and tirobhav is the disappearance. Well, let me say, let's offer our obeisances first. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Kauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschitate Sadharane. Om Agena Timirandasya Ginanjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadarha Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Guru Maharaj, Srila Gurudev, Srila Acharya Dev, Ki Jai. Gaura Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai. O Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. This was the verse that was written by Srila Govinda Maharaj to glorify Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Swami Sri Bhakti Vedanta Prabhupadaye Te Namaha Guru Vagyam Ashkirasi Dritva Shaktyave Svarupane Hare Krishneti Mantrena Paschatya Prachyatarane Vishvacharya Prabharyaya Divya Karunya Murtaye Sri Bhagavata Madhurya Gita Jnana Pradayane Gaura Sri Rupa Siddhanta Saraswati Nishevini Radha Krishna Padamboja Pringaya Gaurave Namaha. And in meaning, I offer my humble obeisances unto His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is Krishna's beloved associate, and who came down to this plane from Golok, taking the order of His Guru on His head. He is the Shaktivesh avatar of Nityananda Prabhu personified. He distributed the Hare Krishna mantra all over the eastern and western world, delivering and uplifting all fallen souls. He is the best of millions of Jagat Gurus because He is the personification of divine mercy. He has distributed the sweet nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam and the transcendental knowledge of Bhagavad Gita all over the world. He is constantly engaged in exclusive devotional service to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, Srila Rupa Goswami and Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. I offer my humble obeisances unto Srila Prabhupada, who is like a bumblebee, always tasting the nectar of the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Govinda. Such a nice verse. So let's read what it says here in the Om Vishnu Pad, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Prabhupada, founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness in the Western World. The great inaugurator of Krishna Consciousness in the Western World. 10 short years. He spread the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu everywhere, inundating the world with Krishna consciousness. In the infinite, intimate past history of the trio of holy personalities pictured on the right, Srila Sridhar Maharaj at left, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj at right and Srila Govinda Maharaj in the middle is most valuable and interesting to all true devotees. They resided together at Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj's Sitakanta Banerjee Lane house in Calcutta for about 8 years. This was prior to Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj's sannyas. It was during that time that Srila Govinda Maharaj on the order of Srila Sridhar Maharaj, studied Srimad Bhagavad Gita under Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj. Later, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj accepted sannyas from Srila Bhakti Pragya Keshava Maharaj, the sannyas disciple of Srila Sridhar Maharaj. After traveling to the West in 1965 and spreading Krishna consciousness in a miraculous way previously unseen in the history of the world, whenever he returned to India, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, who had become known by his disciples and many admirers worldwide as Prabhupada, would stay with Srila Sridhar Maharaj at the Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mada Navadweep. On those visits, some special points that he spoke about Srila Sridhar Maharaj to his disciples follow. By both age and experience, he is senior to me. I was fortunate to have his association since about 1930, Krishna and Prabhupada. I'm referring to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, the Diksha Guru of both Srila Sridhar Maharaj and Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, liked him to prepare me. Srila Sridhar Maharaj lived in my house for many years, so naturally we had very intimate talks, and he was my good advisor. I took his advices and instructions very seriously because from the beginning I knew him to be a pure Vaishnava, a pure devotee, and our relationship is very intimate. And prior to his departure from the world in 1977, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj instructed his followers to take spiritual consultation and guidance from Srila Sridhar Maharaj. After the departure of Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, Srila Sridhar Maharaj declared, "I consider him to be Shaktivesh avatar. Krishna came down to help him. Divine power came down to help him. Otherwise, it is impossible. It is not a thing of the ordinary level that anyone will do. But the highest thing has been taken down to the lowest position and distributed so extensively by him. It cannot but be the divine power embodied and in a great intensity and magnitude. So Shaktivesh avatar, I cannot but take him to be so." No one else had called Prabhupada Shaktivesh avatar until Sridhar Maharaj mentioned this. Such a high position, high recognition, can only come from like Sridhar Maharaj to Srila Prabhupada. Otherwise, for that time, understood how Prabhupada's positions, much as Sridhar Maharaj proclaimed. As we all knew, Prabhupada was someone who is not ordinary to be able to do what he has done. Everyone could recognize that. But to claim that he was especially empowered by Lord Nityananda, like Shaktivesh, that was Srila Sridhar Maharaj's designation and recognition. Such an high honor he gave to Prabhupada. So from in the beginning, when Srila Prabhupada was still living outside of the Gaudiya Math, Srila Sridhar Maharaj was living with him, as we read here, for 8 years they lived. Srila Prabhupada had two places, and one where he was living and one that he was giving to Srila Sridhar Maharaj for a living, I mean, having a center in Calcutta. And he had, I think he must have had also Navadvip at that time, a center in Navadvip afterwards, or during that time. And yeah, it was his Calcutta preaching center. And so they had a chance to speak many times together. And later, when Sridhar Maharaj was not there, or had his center in Navadvip, then Govinda Maharaj was staying there and hearing from Srila Prabhupada as he was translating Bhagavad Gita and learning Bhagavad Gita from Srila Prabhupada. So they had a close connection like that, a close spiritual association with one another. And then Srila Prabhupada had a business, pharmaceutical business, and when things weren't going so well, he decided that now it was a good time to leave everything and take sannyas and give his full attention to the Gaudiya Math and the service of his Gurudev, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. But actually, Saraswati Thakur advised him that it is not best for him to leave everything and join the mutt, the administrative duties that would be involved in joining the mutt. He felt it was better that he not take that up, remain in his business because he had some good contacts, and keep and utilize those contacts in the service of the activities of the mutt and the preaching. So Prabhupada did that. Of course, later on, we know that he became a big preacher throughout the world through the use of his contacts, those influential persons he knew. He was able to come to America, and he began his preaching mission, of course, with the help of no one, basically, on his own. And when he was here, he had no one. Dr. Mishra, one Mayavad philosopher, he knew here, and he stayed with him for a while when he came. But otherwise, no one was really there to help him. Still, he was able to begin in New York the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It became registered, and slowly he began developing different centers all over the country. And then back in India, he began to develop there also. And like that, it arose into such a grand movement over a few short years. In Australia, they had a complete eclipse of the sun just a few days ago. I don't know if there's any kind of problem like that, astronomical problem, causing these internet connection problems. Shanta Maharaj, are you connected?
Yes, Maharaj. Dandavat.
So we were saying that in the beginning, when Prabhupada was still joining the Gaudiya Math, then we mentioned that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta had told Prabhupada not to join in the mutt because he had some good connections outside, and that if he joined, he would only be engaged in some administrative activities in the mud, and better that he remain engaged in preaching to his those persons he knew and other persons that he could influence. So like that. So Prabhupada did not actually join until much later, when he wanted to take sannyas from Srila Sridhar Maharaj, and Maharaj told him that he could take from Keshav Maharaj, because he did not want to have any difficulty with the family who he knew very well, Prabhupada's family. At some time, if they had some hardship because he had taken sannyas, they might come to blame Srila Sridhar Maharaj. He had that kind of intimate relationship with them, so he wanted to avoid creating any hard feelings with his friends. And that way, and he suggested that Prabhupada go to Keshav Maharaj as his sannyas disciple. And like that, Prabhupada took sannyas, and then we know the rest of the story. And he came here finally to the U.S. and began his preaching mission. And then, several years after his preaching mission was started, then Srupa Damodar Maharaj came, and Prabhupada was very enthusiastic to preach to Srupa Damodar Maharaj, who was a scientist at that time, and he was doing his PhD work at Irvine, California. What is that called? University of California at Irvine. He was doing his PhD work there, and he was coming to see Srila Prabhupada through the grace of his friend, who he was familiar with, intimate with in California, named Ramananda Prabhu, who later received the name Ramananda Prabhu. You have read about that in the Bhagavad Sevarpan, Sevarpanam, that Jada Krishna Prabhu has done such nice work to remodel that whole website on our bhaktisrupdamodar.com. And you can look through there and read the whole of Srila Sripad Maharaj's life and preaching mission. It's very nice that we have offered in honor of Srila Srupa Damodar Maharaj. Anyhow, how Srupa Damodar Maharaj was instructed by Prabhupada to start the Bhaktivedanta Institute. And at that time, I was also, I had also joined the mission along with Sadaputa. And the three of us had PhDs, or Srupa Damodar Maharaj was working to get his at that time. And we were all of the scientific background. So Prabhupada requested that we doing this scientific work of preaching. Kusham Devi, you have made it, huh?
Yes, Maharaj, I just got in now. Dandavats. Dandavats, everyone.
So much difficulty they had in coming to Princeton today. They got a flat tire on the way, and so they were delayed quite a bit by that, and also had a late start. But somehow they came, and I think all that difficulty had created a very sweet atmosphere. Krishna arranged some very sweet atmosphere, and we had a nice kirtan and wonderful prasad. And a very sweet person also came, what's her name, Nancy and Revat, both very nice to aspiring souls. And we spoke to them. An old friend also came with Shamsunda Prabhu's family that I had known from before. So anyhow, the day turned out Very sweet, although now I hear you had some difficulty getting back because of the traffic. So a lot of sacrifice, but
Today was a very merciful day. Very austere day.
from us some of our energy to your glorification of our spiritual master. All of our, who is Prabhupada is all of us our spiritual master, because we have all learned through him to come to Krishna consciousness. All of us, we read his books, his influence is there in directing all of us this way. Oh, by one means or another, Prabhupada has spread his influence into all of our lives. Anyhow, then in 1976, he established this Bhaktivedanta Institute. And then shortly after that time, Prabhupada left this world. Left this world. Dhirubhav. His presence became covered. Dhirubhav means covering or disappearance. We were just mentioning before. So, him manifesting sometimes and then covered sometimes. This is how we understand the spiritual master's position. Like the sun. Sun is showing itself sometime and then sometime it's covered. It's not that the sun disappears. It's always present. But sometimes to our eyes it is covered. In the same way, Gurudev, sometimes he's appearing, sometimes he's covered. Like hide and seek. And you're looking for someone and they're hiding. And then your heart is growing more desirous, more intently. You are wanting that company again. So in that way, Krishna manifests. His teaching is instructing. Form. Acharya Mam Vijaniyat. He manifests his instructing form to those who are seeking to reestablish their connection with him. And that manifestation is called Guru. Guru. So Srila Sridhar Maharaj, he recognized that this Shaktivesh avatar Guru Prabhupada was a Shakti base, a manifestation of Krishna's energy, empowered by Krishna's energy to preach Krishna consciousness. And then after that, then Swarup Damodar Maharaj also received his PhD and began preaching very vigorously for the honor and glorification of Srila Prabhupada with his with the Bhaktivedanta Institute. And somehow or other we were split from each other, and I came to Sridhar Maharaj, and he remained with ISKCON. Anyhow, he went continued preaching on his mission, and I also in a very humble quiet way was continuing with my preaching on the internet. So many websites I developed in preaching the teachings of Srila Prabhupada and Sridhar Maharaj. Sridhar Maharaj, I learned about Hegel, and I developed many websites on Hegel and mailing groups, and a large number of people joined. And like that for many years. Somehow or other, a very difficult philosopher. I was telling others about him, and they were listening to me. My explanation, they could not understand anything about Hegel. Somehow I was able to understand something enough that I could tell others. And surprisingly, they were listening in numbers. 1,000 people or more came and joined whatever I was writing about Hegel. I came to join our list. So I was quite amazed to see that. And they were getting some benefit. And then later on, Hegel philosophy became widely known, more widely known than previously in this country. Everyone became interested in what he was saying. And a lot of people nowadays, they can understand something about what he was saying. Hegel was saying same thing as our philosophy, the Siddhanta of our Krishna conscious philosophy. Srila Sridhar is told that Hegel was presenting that Siddhanta. The foundation of our Siddhanta, the philosophical foundation, could be found in his teachings, in his explanation. And basically, it is that consciousness is the foundation of all reality. It is from the conscious world that the reality is constructed, not from the material realm, not from matter, but from consciousness it is erected. So Srila Prabhupada had personally gave me the instruction in a conversation with him in the park one day. We were walking, and for that duration of that walk, he was speaking to me directly that you must preach that matter comes from life. He told me, using my scientific knowledge. There was enough for me to get that order from Prabhupada directly. Not everyone, and everyone had that opportunity. So I took it as a very special thing, and that I could have the opportunity to try to do that in order to please my spiritual master, to please Srila Prabhupada. If I could do that somehow, I felt I could satisfy him. And I knew that was the only thing that I was interested in. Not so interested in how matter came from life, but that he wanted me to preach that, and I wanted to please him, because somehow or other, by meeting Srila Prabhupada, immediately we had much love for him, so much affection for him, because of his affection for us and for everyone. We could feel that. And so Rupa Goswami once described Bhagavan as meaning that whom our sacrifice and our desire to please and serve him is automatically aroused. That is Bhagavan. Bhagavan means who arouses our tendency, our inner tendency to want to serve and glorify him. That is Bhagavan. And the devotee is also called Bhagavat. Bhagavat or Mahabhagavat even. And a great devotee, the Mahabhagavat. Even Krishna is given the name Bhagavat, but his devotee is called Mahabhagavat. Even greater than Krishna is his devotee, because the devotee is directly coming to us in a form we can approach, in a form we can hear and see and feel and touch. And Krishna appears more as an idea to us from history, from historical perspective, unless we were at his time born, then only we have heard about Krishna. But Guru is there in front of us, Guru and Vaishnava. So we can have a more direct contact. Mahabhagavat, therefore, he is called. And we can see in the case of the Mahabhagavat, again, he is able to take our hearts without any plan on our own. He takes our hearts, attracts our hearts, and our service to him. And I found the same thing with Srila Sripad Maharaj, as also Mahabhagavat. And the same feeling was aroused in us by Sripad Maharaj. We wanted to serve him. We wanted to honor and glorify him. And when in 2006, when Sripad Maharaj disappeared. Some deep desire how I could not lose my connection with him came in me And I had to serve. I had to do some service immediately for him. And I created that website, bhaktisrupdamodar.com, to keep that an inner drive made me want to do something to honor him in a grand way. And through that Bhagavad Seva Arpanam, I was able to do that in some humble way. And also, the vision of Srila Prabhupada for the Institute, I made that in a web publication that had already been done by Srupdamodar Maharaj, but I added one introduction and made it available on the web. Somehow or other, I felt that I had to do some things like that to make a memorial for him. And that alone had soothed my pain, the pain of separation, was soothed by that desire to serve and that act of service. And always remembering him in serving the order of Srila Prabhupada, then alone I was able to have some, my heart was able to be somehow or other soothed. And so that I could not feel so much their distance, their leaving this plane. Then I could understand, even with Srila Prabhupada, that this serving, this connection through service, relieves us of the pain of separation. Because it connects us with them in a very tangible way from the spiritual platform. Our connection is not lost once we can serve. And I remember Srila Prabhupada, I mentioned that also in the vision of Bhaktivedanta Institute, Prabhupada's vision of Bhaktivedanta Institute. I mentioned that about Prabhupada. He also said to us that he himself was not feeling separation from his Gurudev because he was always serving him. And he told this was the main thing about his life. That he was dedicating all he was doing to the service of his Gurudev. His life service to what his spiritual master had requested, it became the life and soul. And the motivating, the life-giving force in his life was coming through that. And I could understand from my own experiences with their separation now what it meant to relieve that feeling with their service, without which I have a terrible pain. My greatest pain devotee can ever experience is to not have the association of the Vaishnava. This is great pain. If we ever come to that platform, then we will know what that means. And you all have some sense of that, I think. How to ameliorate that pain is through service connection. And at the time of the tier above of the Vaishnava, we have that only to soothe our hearts. We must do it. We must. Not a question of any calculation or plan or duty. It becomes an instantaneous and spontaneous need that we fulfill. Just like if you are very hungry, you have to eat to stop the pain of the stomach. Something like that. Bhagavan. Mahabhagavat. Now, Prabhupada told there are three Bhagavans, Krishna Bhagavan, then Srimad Bhagavat. Srimad Bhagavatam is also Bhagavat, and the Mahabhagavat, the devotee of the Lord. Now, all these three are the stimulus, the stimulation for us. In our service. And not something that comes by our plan. We don't plan or dutifully serve. These we may do that also. But at the higher level, it becomes something spontaneous and driven. We are driven to that by those higher, that higher energy becomes to drive us to the service plane. We don't have to plan. And we don't have to be commanded or demanded. We don't have to be demanded by that plane to serve. That plane does not have to demand anything from us. We don't require that you have to do this or else. It is not like that. That becomes a calculative type of service. That a demand is placed upon me, and I must do it because for fear of some punishment or something. No, that's not spontaneous devotion. Spontaneous devotion commands our heart by its special quality, divine quality, and our Sukriti must also be there. And then the connection will be made automatically from the heart, not from the mind, not for any other purpose. Heart will have its way with us. And we are led by our hearts and not by our heads. But of course, head will automatically come around. And the heart is in the right place, and then everything we will understand very nicely also. And I remember once Srila Sridhar Maharaj made some comment, very nice comment, to Swami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada. He used to call him Swami Maharaj. Prabhupada's name was actually Bhakti Vedanta Swami. And when the sannyasi receives his name, there are three parts. The first part is Bhakti, always Bhakti is given for the Vaishnava sannyasi. Then a second name is given, and then a third title. Generally Swami, Puri, Tirtha, like that. I think 108 different names that he given for the third part. Then the second part is always some name of Krishna. And then bhakti, preceding by bhakti. Then the second name having to do with Krishna. Then the third part of the name have 108 different varieties, such as I mentioned. So bhakti swarup Damodar, as Sri Padmaharaj's name, Swarup Damodar. And then my name, Bhakti Madhava Puri, and like that. And Bhakti, what is that? Bhakti Vedanta Swami. So Bhakti, then Vedanta, then Swami. And Srila Sridhar Maharaj, so Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, like that. There are three parts of the name. Anyhow, so he remarked to Prabhupada, isn't it wonderful how Krishna arranges everything through his devotee? When he was seeing how Srila Prabhupada had done so magnificently and munificently preaching throughout the world, he made a remark like that. Isn't it wonderful to see how Krishna manifests his energy, his mercy, his glory in this world through his devotee? He made that comment. I was very impressed with that. How you could see it was all Krishna's doing through his servitor, his inspired servitor. And Prabhupada would always tell us also that he wasn't doing anything. It was Krishna doing that through him. Even writing his books, sometimes he would remark, "I'm getting so much pleasure from reading these books." I said, "Why do you think I'm getting this pleasure from reading my own books?" And he commented that it's not because they are not written by him. They are written. Krishna wrote those books through him. He said something like that. That he was also reading those books with great joy, as if he were reading them for the first time. Something like that, as if he were relishing the reading of the books that he had written. He said, "I didn't write these books. Krishna wrote them through me." And so he was getting great joy just reading them. And we also find that kind of special pleasure when hearing Prabhupada's books. And divine joy comes into our heart, and Krishna consciousness magically develops just by reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. We actually feel our Krishna consciousness is becoming more clear to us, giving some relief to us. Jai Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Jai Om Vishnu Pada Paramahamsa Paribraja Kachari Asta Tara Sata Sri Sri Mad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Srila Sridhar Maharaja Ki Jai Srila Bhakti Srila Damodar Maharaja Ki Jai Sri Gaur Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol. And my dandavats to all of you, wonderful Vaishnavas, devotees, and so enthusiastic and sincere to serve, even undertaking so many hardships. I know you are going through so many different things, all of you. And still going on with your service, still feeling very inspired through it, despite all of that. So there is some kind of inner spark that's motivating you. I don't think that's ordinary. And we could see that today also. And our Jado Krishna Prabhu always having so many problems and also in his life, physical ailments and whatnot, and still doing so much wonderful service. So what can I say? This is quite the mercy of the Lord. I can only see it like that. And we are just a handful of persons and doing that extensive work, extensive preaching. And that has been going on for a long time. I was recently saying to Shanta Maharaj, we should make a website that collects all of our preaching work. Such extensive preaching work he is doing there in India, and all the internet work we have done already over the years. So many different websites we have created like that. It's a very extensive network has been somehow or other established quite without realizing it. That wasn't planned in any way. Somehow it just kept developing and developing. We should put all that together. It is like a small mutt in its own right. We're doing that kind of preaching that even though we have no organized mutt, and still we are doing the work of many men. With just a few very dedicated souls. It's quite wonderful. All the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, I see it. His mercy, he's trying to help us to become Krishna conscious by providing all these things for us. So I offer my dandavats to you all. Hari Bol. Would anyone like to say something? It's about Prabhupada. They have.
Maharaj, I would like to, you know, ask you about that, you know, thing you told about matter comes from life, that, you know, to minister George World about that, you know, just by telling this, you know, thing, why don't you consider that matter comes from life? So, Maharaj, actually, that statement also you told that, you know, about the plant, you know, done yet, that, you know, how plant is producing so much of mass. Apart from that, Maharaj, did you mention anything, any article on that from Hegel or anything about this, you know, idea?
No, I just told that matter comes from life. At that time, I didn't know anything about Hegel. I didn't know about anything. Well, but all this, you have to show that matter comes from life. That's all I knew, that Prabhupada said that. I had absolutely no knowledge of Hegel, nothing. I had no idea how it was possible that matter could come from life even. Anyhow, brazenly, I went to this Nobel laureate and I told him, have you ever considered that matter might come from life? I told him like that, very simply and very innocently. I said to him, not knowing myself what the heck I was talking about or how it was possible, still I said to him, and I was always hoping that one day I would be able to understand that and be able to explain that to people scientifically. But at that time, I did not know, have anything about how to present that. Anyhow, I told him to George Wald in a casual conversation after he had given one lecture, and I met him after the lecture, and they were having some gathering of all the people who had come to his lecture, and I saw him standing, and I went up to him, and I told him like that. Then he didn't say much, but he was a very sweet man, always smiling, and he used to wear a medallion around his neck. And it was like, it looked like, to me, it looked like the Surya, the face of Surya Dev, the face of the sun. He was wearing on this medallion, very chubby cheeks and a very beautiful smile. And he used to be like that also, with a very childish-like smile in his face. He was always very happy and very sweet person. Anyhow, I told him like that. And then 1 year later, somehow or other, we maintained some kind of connection, a very distant connection. About a year later, he had changed his mind. He admitted, yes, we have been saying that life comes from matter, but I think this is the greatest mistake of my life. He told something like that. Now, why can't we understand? Why can't, that what, as the ancient sages have told us, why isn't it that mind comes first and then matter? The whole thing became clear to him. I don't know if it was because of what I said, or somehow or other he had recognized in his life, but I think it must have had some influence. Otherwise, why it happened like that so soon after I spoke with him? Anyhow, I don't like to give myself any credit, but I'm thinking, because actually, like I said, I had absolutely no reason for understanding that or explaining that to him. Only what Prabhupada said, I told him. And I felt, to me, it was like a mantra that Prabhupada had given to me, and I gave that mantra to him. And it had potency, because it came from him. Prabhupada. And I was just repeating what he told me. And in doing that, some potency was there. Without any mental influence upon that word, the words of Srila Prabhupada, I delivered that purely to him, without any tinge of any speculation or whatever, just with the confidence that Prabhupada told this, and then I accepted that as the absolute truth, and I told it to him like that. It had an effect, you see? It had an effect. Those words had, were carrying something within them that affected his heart. And of course, he, like I said, he was a good heart. He was a good heart. And a materialist, somehow he had some good heart, and he was able to receive that and
receive
conception of things. What's that? What's that, Maharaj?
I think it's the first, what I can say, conversion of a scientist by Bhaktivinoda Institute.
That was the first? Well, big scientist, no doubt. Yes. A Nobel laureate, no less. Maybe. I think Prabhupada preached to many people also, and they were convinced. Many scientists he had preached to. He had convinced many persons. Not that he was the first scientist. Prabhupada had also preached to many people. And other devotees also.
Well, I'm asking Bhaktivinoda Institute's activity when we started. Is it?
What's that?
When Bhaktivinoda Institute started, is it the first, you know, scientist to be converted, or before that anybody came?
Maybe.
By Bhaktivinoda Institute preaching.
Prabhupada was preaching at that time. He was still doing his PhD, and Sadaputta was doing some writing. He didn't go very much out to preach, I think. And so I was doing that, so maybe the first one who was actually going out and telling people these things in a very simple-hearted way. I would go out and tell without doing any deep study. Sadaputta was a very exacting person, had a very exacting mind, and he wanted to do everything very nicely and systematically. Before he would say anything to anyone, he had to make it very clear in his own mind and he to make it clear to others. And this was his great quality. He could do that, and he could write very nicely and very convincingly. He had a very scientific, systematic approach. And that was greatly appreciated by so many. But I was not so involved in that kind of detailed work at that time. Later I became also more, because my tendency was always more to the philosophical side, and more than his idea was more to the mathematical, Sadaputta, more mathematical mind. He came from that field. I had come from the chemical field, chemical level, but actually my interest was never in chemistry or physics, actually. I wanted to go into those fields because I felt that was the way to philosophically approach the problem. I was always more interested in philosophy and religion than in chemistry or physics, but I felt that the way to enter those subjects, those higher subjects, was through chemistry and physics, because people were impressed by those fields. And so, in a glancing way, I was involved in those subjects. But really my heart was more toward the philosophical understanding of things. And that took a long time for me to cultivate. Only by the grace of Srila Sridhar Maharaj, I learned about Hegel. And those ideas were becoming clear to me after many years of studying that Hegelian philosophy and presenting things from that side. And then other things came in the wake of that. And a more clear idea was coming. And a presentation in those terms became clear. And then I met Shanta Maharaj and Muni Maharaj. And somehow or other, I was able to convince them. I remember Shanta Maharaj was not so interested in preaching the scientific things. He wanted to immediately to get into your surrender to Krishna, you rascal. surrender to Krishna and give up your nonsense. And no scientific preaching was involved. And I told him, I said, Maharaj, I want you to make you a scientist first, then you can preach. Right, Maharaj? Do you remember? I want you to become a good scientist. Preach in that way. And then he became a good scientist. I wouldn't allow him to preach, though. I wouldn't allow him to tell others to surrender to Guru. I said, no, that is not the thing. That is not the thing that you have to tell. First, you have to tell them that they are, with scientific conviction and arguments, convince them that they are not material beings, they're spiritual beings. Then we can tell them about Guru. And I explained that this is Bhagavad Gita's approach, Krishna's approach in Bhagavad Gita. He did not immediately say Sarva Dharmam Padittaja. Only after 18 chapters he told that of instruction. So we can't jump the gun, as they say. Patiently have to try to make them understand. A little immature to immediately tell everything in the beginning and not try to develop the idea first. Those who are in the beginning stage, they may try to say everything at once. But with a little maturity, we can become more restrained and try to see where the person is at and try to help him get to the position where he can understand. That's our approach. So, like today, one devotee who had come recently came, and one lady asked about initiation, and immediately that devotee began explaining, oh, you have to follow this rule and that rule. Don't eat meat, don't have sex, and chant so many mantras. No, we don't want to say that all those things in the beginning to a person who knows nothing. We have to explain first so many things before imposing some rule or not a rule-based conception and not based upon rules. Those rules help us, but they are not the thing that we want to help. For some substantial idea is needed, what we are doing, what we are after. For one who has never heard anything, they are not interested in following so many rules. Have no taste. Only is seeking. Actually, Srila Sridhar Maharaj, he would never mention the four rules. Even when someone wanted to be initiated, he would not mention anything about the four rules. That is for helping the name. But the name is not dependent on rules. You can chant a Hare Krishna mantra and still be a meat eater, still be a sex monger, everything. The name will not be affected by those things. Name is transcendental. And whatever sinful activities are being engaged in, then the name will purify that person. We're not depending on his following some rules. Srila Sridhar Maharaj would tell that story of that Shaligram Srila sitting in the mark and the balance scales of that butcher. You know that story? The butcher was having some Shaligram Srilas in his scale. A bunch of Shaligram Srilas. What put more on Shaligrams on the scale, and the scale would go down, and then the meat on the other platform. And according to how many much that meat was there, then he would put extra stone, extra Shaligram on the other side to balance it. And then he would know how much meat it was. And he was selling the meat like that on the basis of using Shaligram as a standard. And yeah, one devotee came and saw that he was using that Shaligram in that way. Oh my goodness, what a horrible offense you are making. please give me these are very worshipable thing, worshipable deities. You cannot use shaligram like that. And he chastised that man. He took those shaligrams home, and they began to complain to him, why you have taken us from that scale? We were having so much fun swinging on that scale. having so much fun, and you took us away. How you can do such a thing? He is our devotee, and we like to stay there. So like that, and not depending on rules. It's our heartfelt devotion, not some regulative, dutiful kind of service. It's our spontaneous service. That may take some different forms. We don't know. Who is not attached to anything, avaduts, like Nityananda Prabhu, he could be found doing almost anything, walking naked in the street even. But he just, when he was doing like that, and somebody was criticizing him, then Mahaprabhu told that person, no, you take the kopin, the cloth from his kopin, and you wear that on your neck. He is a saintly person. He is not worthy of, you cannot put any criticism on him. Not of this world. His activities are not of this world. Are not doing for any illicit activity in this world. He's always thinking of Mahaprabhu. So we have to understand when we are preaching what it is we are trying to say. Initiation is a very important thing that is not to be lightly dealt with. To people, oh yes, you just have to follow these principles, chant so many rounds, and then finish, you are initiated. That's not initiation. It has nothing to do with initiation. Initiation has to do with Dibhyagyan. Dibhyagyan means transcendental knowledge. Real initiation means that you are receiving that knowledge that is transcendental, that is not within the scope of anything you have ever learned before. And that relieves you of all that other knowledge. Two things. It gives you knowledge and it relieves you of all mundane contamination or conditioning. This initiation. It sets you on the path of the fifth dimension of life. And the development of Krishna Prem, love of God. Then he's properly initiated. Not that he is doing some... this or that or the other thing. That not bad. If one can do those things also, he can also develop his Krishna consciousness. But that is the outer portion of our aspiration. There's a superficial side, not the internal side. Anyhow, it is all good, but we want to put the emphasis on the inner. It is all good, but we put the emphasis on the inner development. I want to give emphasis to that. I like to do it like that. And our program there in Princeton has a very special significance that I hope those who are coming recognize. It is meant mostly for the scientists. We're not trying to establish a temple there. Not a Hare Krishna temple, not an ISKCON temple, not even a Chaitanya Saraswama temple. We are trying to develop the office that is us and is established as an office of Bhaktivedanta Institute. And Bhaktivedanta Institute is meant for the instruction of the educated section of society. No, not for bringing so many devotees from the different places to do Harinam or whatever. It's not meant for that. It's meant for academic teaching, preaching to the academic community. Not so many people are doing that. Not everyone is qualified to do that, first of all, has the academic qualification at least. And so if we this was Prabhupada's desire, he wanted academically qualified persons to preach to the academic educated section and to gather them and influence them with Krishna consciousness. So this is our idea. We're trying to fulfill that vision and to fulfill that mission. And so it is not so much for bringing so many devotees there and letting them have Harinam, Prasad, and so forth. Yeah, exactly. And so we have to be mindful of that. You are also kindly helping me, and you are also listening, hearing the conception of the that is coming from the Sridhar Maharaj group. The group that has formed around his teachings, his mood. You are also, involved in that. So you have a quality and conception that is suitable to that type of preaching. And a small group of persons we have for Harinam, we're making Prasad or Kusum Devi so expertly doing. And like that, and my preaching and others who may come, we want to develop something in a small way, in a humble way, but specifically focused on that group of the students. So if others from New York or this place or that place come, I think it is not our idea getting all these persons that. That's not what we want. If they like to hear what I'm saying, I can come to them, no problem. I can travel to different places and present some ideas and thoughts to them. But otherwise, I'd like to reserve that place for the more student-oriented section, scientific-oriented section, or whatever, philosophical-oriented section of persons. And then they don't become diverted by seeing so many other things that they may not feel comfortable with. Anyhow, I hope we can all understand that and try to work in that for that in that direction. Not so much encourage so many to come, although I don't mind meeting some old friends like that, like we had today. But generally, we don't want to make that a regular thing. We don't want that. That's not our mission. Not that we have anything against anyone, but our mission is very specific and particular, and we want to try to develop it in that way. I think this is my idea. If you have some other ideas, some other suggestions, I'm open to that also. And yeah, what I captured from, what I gathered from Srila Prabhupada's instructions, trying to fulfill that, trying to do that. And you were also kindly helping me, and I'm appreciating that so greatly. You cannot imagine. I've been doing this so long on my own, and you're all there now, and in some way contributing to that. It is absolutely pure mercy. So, anybody want to say anything else? Looks like Shantamar's got disconnected again. Anyone else like to say something? All right, it's getting late now. And we will close. Dandavats, you're all.
Dandavat Maharaj.
Dandavat Maharaj.
Thank you very much.